shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
We turn this afternoon to the subject, Knowledge of All Truth. It's significant that we properly analyze our relationship as the children of God and the household of God to God's purposes for us in the earth, and to area what we might refer to as true religion. I think this is very important this afternoon because we are engaged not only in a program of survival as a race, but those of us who are aware of what is transpiring as Christian Americans are vitally concerned in the survival of our nation as a nation. The majority of people in the world today and in America are giving their officials in government a mandate to change from what our founding fathers created and what was considered to be the basis of our society, which they say is antiquated, outmoded, and no longer capable of functioning and working properly, into a type of government, into a type of way of life that will provide security and provide expansion, development, education, and economic security, but in this process, never caring a whit by how they arrive at this destiny. The mandate for change is coming from the masses of people to secure the end results, whether they participate in the administration of it or not. And so under this statement it said, just think of all the people that are dragging their heels against these great areas of progress that will be made among all men, among all religions, among all races. And the mandate is coming from the masses because they know what they want, and they don't care what kind of a system politically, by name or by identity, they receive it under, just so they get it. Today, everything upon which they were basing their mandate for change, upon the development of world organizations which were going to extend civilization to Africa and to the ends of the earth, they were going to produce not only greater resources, greater production, a new and higher developed science, a great freedom from every problem in the whole human race, because people just surrendered the authority for an elite company to go ahead and do all this for them. They're supposed to know more, think faster, and have more wisdom and understanding than anybody else on the face of the earth. But you know, I have looked at the faces and the countenances of some of this elite company, and I don't want to pledge my destiny in their hands. There is no question that in our time, therefore, that hinged to this is an appeal. And the propaganda waves going across America today and throughout the world are making an appeal. They're trying to make an appeal to the soul of man that they must learn to trust, irrespective of the past performances of the people they are to trust. That if they are not willing to grant, therefore, an unrestricted and unrestrained trust to the areas of their fellow men, they are therefore destroying, breaking down the great programs of development, and that God, with his infinite love, wants all men to love with the same infinity, till I trust all men, never doubting, never having any question concerning the fact that such an area of energy will produce nothing but good. And that this is a super religious aspect, that this is internationalism making a super religious appeal, which super religious appeal is to find the highest level of morality coming out of the soul consciousness based on the highest principle in the universe, which is love, as God demonstrates it. Only thing, what they're not asking you to demonstrate the love as God ordains it, they're asking you to demonstrate an unnatural pattern of love that causes you to love the very forces that would destroy you on the grounds that you can trust them to do you some good. And this afternoon, if we will not preach on this basis, thus saith the Lord, you therefore are classified as ecclesiastically antisocial. But the strange thing is that Christ would be totally unacceptable upon the basis of their appeal this afternoon. We are faced with a decision in the mind and consciousness of men as it relates to a fixation of their philosophy of life. This challenge is a challenge that must reach every area of the Christian church. For the basis of the thinking of a man concerning what he thinks about the earth and life and God and everything that relates to it is his philosophy of life. If it is to possess the mighty, dynamic, big and large and forceful enough, to accomplish the solution of men's problems, to guide them into the areas of divine development, and to fulfill the destiny which specifically your race had before it. It must be in sequence with God's plan and God's purpose. But this challenge which goes out to us today does not come from the field of God. It is not coming from God, though it comes from areas that claim to call their inspiration from God. Don't think for one moment that because there are areas of narration which descriptively apply to what men see as they observe the universe they live in, that all the functions and philosophies and advocacies of concepts of deity, processes of religion, or poetic philosophy, which can even come out of the mouth of a socialist, has the answer and solution to human problems. What we are faced with is, as white Christian Americans, and I'm speaking to you as Christians, I am making no attempt at appeasement or acquiescence to any other area of theology, to any other concepts of deity. I am presenting this factually to you as Christians. You derive the authority of your religion in the areas of written revelation from the book we here call the Bible, have been inspired by God, passed down upon your race, and are today the foundations for the areas of your theology. If, therefore, we are to accept that the Bible was an authority, still retaining within our consciousness the ability to weigh the accuracy of Scripture, which has been subject to handling and translations, ecclesiastical bending and twisting with various versions, but not able with all of these processes to obscure the mighty authority of the pattern of divine revelation that crops out in all versions and establishes a great flowing divine program. If this afternoon you are a Christian, intend to retain your identity as a Christian, and are not being persuaded by the areas of world influence to surrender Christianity as not sufficient or incomplete, you are therefore forced to accept that the basic content of this narrative is true. On the basis of this, therefore, we are forced to recognize that no area in the general tendency of world direction, as it is being applied through the programs of world government coming out of a union with nations that are non-Christian, or peoples that are pagan, or races that lack the capacity to govern themselves, let alone govern you, that on the basis of the content of this book, you must reject, repudiate, and not associate yourself in the area of acquiescence or assent to the trend of what today is called the trend of the world order, which they call a mandate for change. I point out to you that the most important thing that you can possess is truth. Not just a little truth, but total truth. There will always be those that say that we know in part, we will never possess total truth, because we cannot in our finite capacities understand it. But if you can understand the things that relate to truth as it relates to your dwelling in the physical world, then, my friends, that's all you need to know to dwell here right. I listened to an area of religion that was propounded as high spirituality that was spending so much time telling us about getting ready to go to heaven. Didn't tell us anything about the earth, and all of this was supposed to be revelations of truth, but they didn't have one Bible quote that they could found their description of the celestial realms on, or what was the requirement for you and I to be able to dwell there. Now, there isn't any question about spiritual revelation. There's more spiritual knowledge in this room than you and I have any capacity at this moment to totally appreciate. Every spirit that dwelt here has been with the Father before the world was framed and was capable of perceiving and understanding the things that were in its realm while it was there. It's only been the graciousness of the Father that pulled this veil of the full patterns of that plane down over your consciousness when he put this spirit that is you inside this physical body. You wouldn't even be happy to stay here if the full pattern of remembrance were now dawning on you as to the dimensions from whence you came and the conditions as it relates to the perception of existence in that dominion. For it was dominion without pain and without problem for celestial children who were begotten of the light and who were the children of the Father. The importance of what we call religion to adapt and adjust his children down here in bodies of flesh to do the job he put them down here to do. And if religion is not relating to adjusting you and to bringing you into a working relationship with God in truth for the job he put you in the earth to do, then, my friend, it's a rather foolish thing and it's not going to get you anywhere at all. We are faced with the fact that the design of Lucifer is to make all of religion today contemplative religions. You say, don't you believe it's good for men to think? I believe it's good for men to think in relationship to purpose. I think it's good for them to commune and to receive spiritual power and wisdom for a specific task. I think for men just to abstractly commune with nothing is just another way of sleeping. I think some people are seeking a kind of serenity as an escape from reality. What we need is power in reality to be triumphant, not an escape from reality that's incomplete. I notice that never has there been as many oracles appearing among Christianity than as there is now. And these articles are appearing in many denominations, and we're told this is a new high area of development inside of the church. And these people are being told, listen, my children, just contemplate me. And the resulting situation is that all they talk about is just consider the light, consider me, you're my friends, separate yourself from all activity, separate yourself from everything, and don't worry, you're going to get great knowledge, great wisdom, and I'm going to protect you. And then it starts talking about the beauty of a flower, and then consider this beauty as it relates to me, and then just withdraw yourself from everything that's real and everything that's not beautiful, and you'll be blessed. I have noted that in this tendency, woven into sermons and in messages, there is a wave moving through Christianity of a very subtle design to remove men from reality and to separate them from activity. I note the great majority of these instructions coming through areas where spiritual articles are even attributed to the Holy Spirit are telling men to separate their consciousness from the problems that are before them that they are to conquer, and then just eventually be absorbed in the light somewhere, some distance to nirvana that would accompany the doctrines of Buddhism, the doctrines of Hinduism, or the doctrines of yogiism. In contact with one part of this message that said, God is filling the universe. Behold, I'm everywhere. I'm light. I'm power. I'm in the air you breathe. And the more you breathe, the more you're going to take me in. Don't accept your breathing as a religion. Accept it as reality. When you take a big breath, you're not absorbing God. You are doing what God would give you intelligence to do. But all of these things are supported as areas of spirituality. We have been probing, lest some would say that we were not giving proper attention to all avenues of spiritual development, every claim being made day to day in areas of Christendom to numb some new spiritual attainment or power. We have not discovered one new principle, one new truth that was not clearly unveiled by the Father through the Old Testament and in the New. They haven't come out with one new thing. But the truth is so new to most of them that they have overlooked that which is new to them, because truth would bring it to their consciousness if they would let it. When Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, then the truth shall make you free, he didn't say a knowledge of all religions, an acceptance of a worldwide philosophy. I assent that if you apply to this principle or that principle an emotion which God spiritually develops in you and which by the processes of nature function within you for your family, for your friends, or for your God as you understand it. For there is no higher function of emotional serenity than that of love. And because of this, under emergencies and under tension and pressure, men of a race and of a kind will sacrifice, will come together, will lay down their lives for the preservation of their species. And the highest pattern of such perception is when God acknowledges not only as author and creator it is his universe, and that his sons and daughters in the world are his offspring, and he has, by the miracle of the processes of his purpose, transferred a branch of his offspring from heaven to earth. That he has, in the purpose of his creation, created this world and many mothers, in the rebellious processes of Lucifer and the struggles that have affected a part of the universe and at this present time are affecting you in the environment of Earth, that I am going to restore and put it all in order. I'm going to make every knee bow. I'm going to see that everything is put back in its proper place. We are related to a direct purpose of God, which places a responsibility upon you as you understand and know. And so this afternoon, when we listen to these words of Jesus, ye shall know the truth shall make you free. He then unveiled in the book of John the words that the pattern of perception, the great illuminating, counseling, comforting force of truth, which emanates out of his own spirit, can be received by spirit, which is spirit of his spirit and life of his life, and that even in his ministry, as God chose the course by his own purpose and in his own plan to become embodied in earth, born out of your race, identifying himself according to the second chapter of Hebrews with his own kinsmen, and was not ashamed to call you earthlings his relatives, because he knew the spirit that was on the inside. In the course of such processes, in the pattern of such purpose, he, the eternal, had identified himself in earth as God, creator of the universe, who was before all things, by whom all things were made, and clearly identified that his purpose was not to stay in the world at this time. Having consummated a definite appointment in destiny, while his enemies thought they were destroying him, working out of the negation of their concepts in their world order,
He not only maintained a standard, identified the enemy, participated actively in their repudiation, and even used what we might classify as violence at times to demonstrate his opposition to evil working among men as he drove them off of the steps of the temple. I point out to you that with all of this process, he was to lift off of those that were his sons and daughters for all time their restraining guilt complexes, lift off of them their responsibilities of error perceived and sometimes not totally understood. He was to move out of you the impact that inherited remembrance passes down to all generations of your race, which was the violation of divine law that we call Adamic transgression. There have been those that said, how could a race have inherited the transgression of Adam, and how could Adam's transgression fall upon all men? Because in the chromatin that passes in the mitosis of cell division, there has passed down in remembrance the areas of error, and its responsible guilt when it lost its light and glory upon every member of your race. And just as you have inherited the background of their experiences and the sum total of their knowledge, which a awareness or an activation of the cell patterns of your brain could bring into remembrance and focus, you have subconsciously carried with you the areas of this lost power and of this guilt. It is because of this the Father, with one single motion of being embodied with one consummate atonement, lifted from you and for all time the areas of this guilt complex if you become adjusted in your thinking to receive it, and then stated that it was essential that he was going away. Didn't intend to remain in the body in the earth. The whole universe was his, and the whole universe was being run by this intelligence. And he was going back to central headquarters in his own universe, but his abiding presence could remain with you all the way through this spiritual energy pattern of the consciousness of God, the spiritual awareness of his children, and the maintenance of the essence of being in form, because he filled all things. In the book of John, Jesus made the statement that he made concerning the fact that he would pray, meditate, direct the energies of spirit into the creative force, which was his being, for he who has seen me hath seen the Father. And this interpretive, perceptive consciousness of the essence of his own thinking being, this energy of force known as spirit, translated here comforter, but actually meant the perceiving consciousness of God, he says he will not only come upon you to abide with you always to quicken your consciousness, I will come unto you. I re-empower you for my purposes. He said, therefore, when the spirit of truth redawns in the seat of your consciousness, where you possess in your spirit the capacity to be guided and instructed by him, it will do these following things. It will establish for you the things that you want to know, for it will teach you all things. It says in the 26th chapter, the 14th chapter of John, it will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. It will bring all things to your remembrance from the beginning. This is not the only statement in this matter. For over in the 16th chapter of John, still talking about the essence of divine consciousness moving with its personal connection to you, the Father said, it's expedient I go away, for if I did not depart from you, this internal guidance and this spiritual omnipresence would not be descending upon you. So it's essential for the purpose which I have, that my awakened, quickened, conscious sons be not in one place, but all over the world, where as long as I stay here in one corporal body, the fullness of God dwells in this spot. And whereas I move into the celestial realms and you, my life, begotten children, spirit of my spirit, life of my life, aware and guided by my spirit, will be over the entire earth. Therefore, it was important to God that you, as empowered sons, carry out the work which God intended for his family to do. And thus he multiplied you as the sand of the seashore, the stars of the heaven, to fulfill this covenant. To accomplish this purpose, instead of having the fullness of God dwelling in one spot and the rest of the offspring of God with the capacities to perform, separated from the perception necessary to do it. Then in this direction, he said, when this spirit of truth has come upon you, he not only will guide you to all truth, but he'll show you all things and bring you to the knowledge of all truth. He can bring all things to your remembrance, even things that happened in the beginning before the foundation of the world. Jeremiah had the activation of his celestial remembrance brought back to the point where he saw vital catastrophes that affected the world long before the creation of the book of Genesis, long before the Adamic race. And he described what was brought back to his remembrance that's in the book of Jeremiah. I could quote various places where we see this capacity of the Spirit. However, what I wanted to bring upon you was this awareness that if you want truth and you seek after truth, if you're going to seek after truth as it is unveiled by God, then you're going to have to accept what he has laid out as blueprint, purpose, and plan as a Christian in the Christian religion. Now, if you are not going to accept Christ, you're not going to accept the identity of the embodiment of God, you're not going to accept that this was the eternal Yahweh or accept Yahweh at all, then fold up this book and go join any pagan cult you want, but let's clear the decks for action. And the preservation of Christian civilization is not going to come by smothering our faith, by joining with error, superstition, and darkness. It is going to return to the oracle of God as he unveiled it by his Spirit and by the great adjusting spiritual force that moves out upon you because you are a child of his household and who possess in your capacities the force that makes this world eventually heaven on earth. I repudiate the mandate for change. If in the interpretation of this mandate for change it asks me to embrace people whose concepts are motivated by gods that are no gods, by superstition, darkness, ignorance, and I repudiate a process of government that God in this book has revealed to me belongs to the forces of darkness and he calls it Antichrist. And on the fear of being classified as antisocial by the world, I will lift up these standards of the cross and the flag and say I would rather be classified as antisocial on a way to victory than to be subordinated into the meaningless mass and blob that would be humanity under evil. When we talk about truth, someone said, how do we come to the knowledge of all truth? You come to it by synchronizing your thinking with God, by the abiding presence of his Spirit, making you know in his purposes. The most important things you can know are things that relate to the dimension you're in. If I get off somewhere in some distant planet or some far part of the universe someday, and I find myself lost in a maze of things I need to know, I'm going to inquire of the Father about things that relate to that plane, that dimension, or that planet, but I'm not there yet, and I'm concerned about the program of God for this one while I'm here. And if that's not sound religion, then, my friends, you're never going to get it by turning to the forces of darkness who seek to paralyze men by removing their awareness of their responsibility to the planet while the forces of darkness take over. I repudiate today every oracle, every area of so-called spiritual revelation that does not unveil to man his relationship and help to synchronize him with it for the program of God's kingdom as God outlines it. And I repudiate as a very fallacious area of pseudo-spiritual echelons all areas of revelations and all areas of so-called spiritual guidance that would separate a man from accomplishing the purposes God wants to do and make it easier for the enemy. There are people today with endless platitudes who say beautiful things about the name of Christ, about Christianity, and about Jesus, even acknowledging his God, even accepting the words of atonement, and at the same time utterly separate themselves from any responsibility in developing or carrying out the program of the kingdom. They are neutralized Christians because they haven't caught yet what is the pattern of God. And what they think is speaking to them is many times a mischievous and familiar spirit operating under the pattern and guidance of Lucifer, who has only one responsibility, neutralize. If we want truth, the truth starts with the nature of God. He might have a multitude of identifying patterns and semantics and in sound throughout the universe, but this eternal God of this book is Yahweh. His embodiment of the earth as the Savior is Yahshua. We in English say Jesus, but this is Yahweh, the eternal God. He is one God, inseparably and eternally one God. And you are his offspring if you are Adamites, if you are descendants of the household of Adam, and you're not a mongrelized society. You are the offspring of God, which he placed on the earth to build his kingdom. This is what the Bible teaches. And you may study the genealogies of migration and progression. You may come through areas of catastrophe and struggles, battles and wars, as the forces in the world seek to stop you from attaining what God's word said you were sent here to do, build the kingdom and bring in righteous law. You may discover that because you positively stayed to this race responsibility and stayed in the area of this religious instruction and worshiped only this one God, that you became unpopular, you were talked about as hated, and today you're still talking, they still talk about you as people with this race fetish or this God fetish and will not expand to embrace all other gods. Someone said, well, there's no bigger bigot than one that will not change his mind about something. But I'm going to tell you something. There's no bigger fool than one that changes his mind about God.
Someone said bigotry is one who will not change his opinion, and we'll be bigots for truth, and this is a good place to be because during the periods of the development of this nation, it's well established that it has produced the best. If we know this, we know that the covenants that God made with patriarchs of our race didn't start with Abraham, it started with Adam, was recovenanted with Seth, was unveiled in the house of Noah, but at the same time, while Noah was in the midst of his experiences, the households of Enoch and Job were already relocated on the other side of history and were existing from what we now know as Palestine down into Egypt. And God talked to Enoch and gave him more knowledge than any one man. If we had all the things that Enoch had received that they found and where we could put our thumbs on it and all Christendom possessed it, it would make a tremendous impact on the entirety of Christian theology. And what God said unto the patriarchs and what he covenanted with Abraham to do and what he maintained by a program of racial separation and segregation as it passed from Isaac to Jacob and to the sons of Jacob and continues even with the marriage of Joseph as he selected his own kind of people. If you come down through the history of the book, you'll discover that truth is summed up also in this relationship that men worship God as they not only demonstrate their appreciation and their love toward him and they seek his guidance and his help, but when they know that they are his offspring and they possess this remembrance and they worship their progenitor who was the creator, author of all things, in the course of all of this pattern of revelation, one consistently interested in truth will discover that the Spirit will bear witness that no change was made, that through this household and by this people, which were God's progeny, separated, segregated, and selected, chosen and elected, God ordained to bring this planet back in submission to him, with it its accompanying blessings of synchronization with the greatest area of wisdom that the world could possibly ever understand, that with it would come the breaking of the bands and the barriers that were held over other peoples existing in the earth before you arrived by Luciferian superstition, ignorance, and evil, that other religions that move under the evil failings of Satan's posterity are going to be opposed to you as you reveal the true God, and this book reveals they always have been. I'm going to point out that if you try to preserve racial purity and not mongrelize the physical body, which has to be the receiver for wavelengths of wisdom and energy around its brain tendrils that remembrance puts there by mitosis through genes, chromosomes, and internal chromatin. If you're going to accept the history and the background of scientific evidence in genealogy, you're going to recognize today that this was a very vital reason why God wanted to preserve this race, to preserve this developing culture, this pattern of experience in the seat of human consciousness. When I talk about human, I'm talking about spirit man, for this is what the original word human meant. It meant spirit Adamite. The Bible teaches the fulfillment of a great atonement. The Bible teaches a spiritual energizing of areas of command, the sending out of the disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and they swept all the nations to produce Western culture and civilization, and the inspiration and byproduct of their achievement came out of this abiding presence. The greatness that is Western civilization and Western culture today is because of the promise that Spirit would give us these things we sought after, that every door we knocked at would be opened. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you all things that are good, to keep no wisdom from you, to lead you to the knowledge of all truth. If I can trust my Father to supply me with what I need to know to get through this physical world, I'm sure my spirit can depend on him to keep that which is committed unto him against any day out in the future where I'll need some spiritual information. Someone said, what is spirit? What is spiritual information? Did you know that how to live according with God's plan for God's objectives of the earth is spiritual information? Because your seat of perception is as high above the earth as the heights of heaven above the orders of physical construction without God's wisdom. For what you know and what you have attained, you may say it is his credit and his development. For all that you are and all that you hope to be, you owe unto the great thinking, purposeful consciousness of the eternal Father. So by these processes that we have a relationship to understand. The Bible teaches this. It teaches that there were forces in the world operated by Lucifer. It taught us unassimilatable people that are called devils, demons, unassimilatable Nephilim. These were in the world. Jesus sought to identify them, and the church understood more about it in those days than a lot of them do now. He pointed out Satan's own children.
said they had a strategy, and the strategy, of course, was to overthrow the kingdom, and the kingdom of God had suffered violence, and the violent had been taking it by storm. And the program of God was the kingdom was going to expand and grow, and one of these days the violence weren't going to take it by storm, because the saints of the Most High God, as Daniel said, were going to possess it, and from this time on, violence and unrighteousness would go, and the kingdom would rule with authority.
Program of unveiled wisdom through the lips of the prophets was to make known unto you that a struggle for the earth was a part of the final scenes of the closing of an age and the opening of the great new era of a new order. The Bible tells you, not by contemplation of Buddha or Nirvana, not by contemplation of some fetish image even of your God that utterly separates you from any reality except looking out for the light to shine, that this, my friends, is not the procedure. But the procedure is to know that we are moving into an hour when we must be aware, must be wise to the processes of the enemy, what he would attempt to do in order to be triumphant. And so, therefore, God told us he would not only seek to infiltrate your nations, gain control of your economies, manipulate your systems, gain control of your craft, and unionize all of your industries and hold the power over it, that he would seek to move in into every area of manipulation, and then would seek to take away these great nations which I've founded and absorb them inside of a world government of the Antichrist ruled over by Lucifer and his forces. The scripture tells you this. Now, this isn't the mandate for change. This is the antisocial position, because if you accept what God's outlined in this textbook of drama and of destiny, if you accept what the only true God has outlined, you will repudiate everything today that's being advocated by the advisors to the president when they tell you, go United Nations, go one world, go integration, go mongrelization, because this is evil, cursed of God. It is not hatred, it is divine guided intelligence that causes us to preserve our society and keep it intact. It is not a desire to downgrade any area of people's dwelling in earth that would cause us to want to dwell alone with our families under our civilization and culture to develop our posterity and not expose them to the processes of error prematurely. Nothing is more important than the formative years of a child, and if there are intelligent processes of parenthood, while developing and training that child, they protect that child from the areas of error until the formative periods have set the truth, until he's able to combat it without being swerved. The enemy understands this today, has moved into your nations, used to utilize schools and areas of teaching, even into the church, to try to shape that child away from God's plan and give him a mandate for change. Someone said, well, we need to change all the time. No, my father has been the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I like it that way. There is no greater responsibility than to carry out the will of God, the purpose of God, the operation of God, according as he hath revealed it here. He has not cited that there will not be more revelation, more documents, more inspiration, that his spirit will not guide you into truth. But whenever God gives you more, he doesn't destroy the foundations of that which he has confirmed, but he shows you how to accomplish things here described more effectively. There still remains that incessant curiosity, those flickering flames of remembrances that draw one out to the vast depths of that sidereal beauty and cause you to know that you're a part of that as well as this. But every once in a while, as you even contemplate that and find yourself being drawn to the vastness of that universe, you discover that you have not in any sense relinquished the idea that you want to stay here until at least you have finished this task to accomplish this objective. We recognize that we are on the edge of the greatest of all knowledge and wisdom revelations. We're also aware that the enveloping glory of God belongs to your race and we'll come back upon it. We are aware that in the period of the 1,000 years which are ahead of us of a world rule, that immortality will descend on the house of God. We're aware also that with an accompanying technology that will reach all areas of staffs within our race that have worked for the preservation of life, the conquest of disease, will come also knowledge on how to knock out the blocks that affect the whole areas of preserved health, and can prove to you there is no greater power than the power God is going to manifest in his sons and his daughters, which is not only a part of your faith, a function within your race. You can say religious, yes, because you are very definitely, as you are related to God in thinking and action, going to fulfill a religious responsibility. The kingdom of God is not activated, not motivated, and not carrying out its objectives in order to satisfy a punitive policy. It's doing it because of a tremendous drive within it that it cannot resist. There are among our peoples millions who sleep. There are among the agencies that would wage war against the kingdom of God
hundreds who are captive mental minions of the forces of power seeking to rule the earth against God. One of the great Igmas are a white man advocating the surrender of the sovereignty of their nation, acquiescing to those that have no spiritual guidance, seeking to nullify the great dynamic of our religion or question the authenticity of thus saith the Lord, or would seek to make mentally irresponsible in world opinion those that in believing God have carried out the functions and continue to carry them out that leave greatness upon you. We don't have to apologize for what we tell you from year to year. The victory of God's kingdom is assured on the foundations of his own pattern and his own revelation. The salvation of America is going to take place by the hand of God and by the hands of his sons and daughters that still believe his word, that have not delivered themselves into mongrelization and refuse to accept the mandates of evil. And every one of you will be delivered whose name has been written in the book, not by taking you away, but by empowering you here. There is no value in added power if it doesn't give you life, vitality, vision, and leadership. If it doesn't produce achievement, there's no wisdom in knowledge if knowledge cannot be used. And there is nothing in the economy of God that he advocates that isn't effectively of value for you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In that hour when they crown him Lord of all, you will rejoice and be glad. And you will say that it's worth all the effort. And you will recognize in that hour that the purposes of God are absolute. And the world's going to bow the knee to recognize this truth. And you know, they're suddenly going to discover that you're the most popular people in the world. They're not going to say you're antisocial. You're the sons and daughters of the king. You're friends of the ruler. You'll be surprised how the status changes. There are some people that have enough toxics in them mentally that they think that the status of apparent power is more vital than truth. They may be what's called status seekers. Nothing wrong with seeking proper status under the proper process of law. But my friends, don't just accept the signs of authority as final authority in a world that your father rules. For the law of God emanating out of his creative patterns and his divine pattern is the final revelation of truth as things were made and is the final victorious delivering impact pattern. As you know and apply this, you will discover that all things work within that law of their existence, held together by our Father. So I'm going to tell you that to be led to the knowledge of all truth, not a step with the enemies of Christ, out of step with the synagogues in America and throughout the world, out of step with African Asia's background, but in step with conquering truth that lifts superstition and darkness, that gives the world civilization and revelation, and makes you always aware that this force is white and Christian, and this is true. If you can't embrace what this book contains in history, in revelation, and destiny, then, my friends, you will have to sadly either go uninformed, turn to the areas of error, but this will still come forth victorious. In the book of Ecclesiastes, as the prophet writes, he tells us that there is a time for everything. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up. There is even a time to kill and a time to heal. And there is a time to love and there is a time to hate. There is a time for war and there is a time for peace. And the Most High God making these declarations is not just speaking to make all-inclusive all patterns of operation, but he's talking about the realization and patterns and in measures that there's a reason for these things, and thus there is always a time found for it. We are talking about the areas in which events happen. It's not exactly a substance, but it is a dimension. We talk about four dimensions, and one of those dimensions is the pattern of time as well. It's important for us to recognize that something has transpired in the areas in which events should have taken place far different from the way they have taken place that you are required to do something about. You know, people waste a lot of time. This means that they do not accomplish as many objectives as they should or could in the period of time that they have allotted to them while they live. On the other hand, sometimes it doesn't take a lot of time to get a lot done to redeem a lot of time that's been wasted. If you turn to the book of Colossians, you have the Apostle Paul telling you to walk in wisdom and to redeem the time. But in the book of Ephesians, concerning this same matter, the Apostle Paul tells us that there are a lot of things that are made manifest by the light. This sometimes is spiritual perception, and this can be the illumination which comes out of the heavenlies.
For a lot of things take place in the dark that will not take place in the daylight because they're illuminated. And this is also true when it is important that you illuminate the patterns in your environment and that those factors that involve your security and that of your nation, so that that which is deadly and dangerous and dark is not only exposed, but is repudiated and is corrected. So we read these words, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Therefore, we read, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the pattern of the dead, and Christ shall give thee light, and see that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as the wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding, and know what the will of God is. There's far more instruction in those verses in the book of Ephesians than many people recognize. For the Most High God, through the vision of the Apostle Paul, calls upon the people of the kingdom to not only look upon these things which are reproved in these areas in which the operations and the functions of the darkness are destructive, but you are told to consider these things as you walk with wisdom and with understanding. And that everything that exposes the forces of darkness is light. You know, we're in a great battle of semantics right now. The whole structure of your Christian society, of patriots, and of all those that love America. This battle of semantics is a battle in which they are twisting and twisting words in a pattern to try to make those that would work constructively or oppose the evil look as though they are dangerous and destructive. We see this especially as we use the word right. They say extreme right. Though anyone knows that you can't be too right, no matter how far over to the utter end being right you went, you wouldn't be too far. But they would make it appear as though being extreme right is very serious and very deadly, because being extremely wrong is a very serious thing. There isn't any question about the fact that there is no margin which a man should draw about how far right he should go. You should go as far right as the right can go, because there's no excuse for not being as right as it's possible to be. Under this pattern, therefore, semantics is trying to play this down. I have not been making some notations through this Christmas season as I've listened to a lot of BB brains speaking over television and radio talking about how to develop a better we're. And they tell us that we must learn to walk in the middle. That we must learn to be in either extreme on the left or on the right, but to walk in the middle, because this is the way of peace. This is the way of coexistence with evil, and this is the way to lose your liberty and eventually find yourself the slave, because the extreme left will never walk in the middle, and they want the extreme right to leave their right position and walk in the middle until their hands are bound. In the course of the last 50 years, we have watched great deterioration in these United States. We have watched this throughout the entire world as far as the administrative power of Christian civilization and society to carry out the processes of divine will and to carry the program of God's kingdom to the ends of the earth. We have been emerging in this planet ever since we were placed here now for quite a considerable piece of time. From 5,400 years before the time of the birth of Christ on up to now, your race has been growing, expanding, developing from one man's family until you're a great nation and a company of nations in the world today. Throughout the course of that time, we have had the most unusual and tremendous experiences that could become to any people. Having been transplanted from heaven to earth as the children of God in the Spirit, embodied in the Adamic race, our date and our birth being known to the Most High from before the foundation of the era and of the world, our names having been written in His Lamb's Book of Life because of His intended purposes for us and because we want His children, we have had experience in an area that we never had it before. We were sent into the world to bring it back in order in proper relationship to God. We were sent to overthrow the workings of a fallen archangel defeated in the heavens who now had earth as his headquarters. We were here to bring all nations into a proper relationship with the worship of the one and only true God. To overthrow every power of darkness, to put down every power of evil, to smash every pagan temple, to eliminate every foreign god. For this purpose you were placed in the earth, and for this purpose as the sons and daughters of God, He not only acknowledged you, but had great plan and purpose for you. God's never changed the plan, nor, my friends, has there been anything that has transpired that has taken God by surprise. No area of divine understanding is quite as important for us to understand as omniscience. This is the all-knowledge of the Eternal Father, by which all things are held together by His power and by such knowledge and such purpose. Omnipotence involves all power, but omniscience involves all knowledge. And when you possess all wisdom and you possess all power, then there is no reason why anything you want to do is not accomplished. And God said, therefore, I do all my pleasure, and nobody can stay it, no one can hinder it, because I am God.
If your God isn't that big this afternoon, then come and join us with ours. Because we have a God who knows all about everything that's happened. There hasn't been one plan or one strategy that the enemy's been working on that the Father doesn't know about it. And in all view of all the knowledge that is involved in all the strategies against the kingdom, he still gives us a finished story, and we can read the end of the book, which is ultimate and complete victory. So with this pattern of foreknowledge, God has planned a counteracting force, a spiritual developing force for his family and for his household. He has also gauged the entrance from the dimensions of spirit into the physical world of his house. This is called birth as they come into the physical world. Many people do not realize that their physical birth into a physical world, a part of divine plan, was on a divine timetable. And so there was known the exactness of their coming in, and when they went back into the dimension of spirit, it was referred to as their going out. So the scripture says their coming in and their going out was known unto the Lord. More than this, the pattern that relates to a man's lifespan and to his knowledge was understood in the writings of the early Greek, and when the Apostle Paul wrote in Greek, as he did in many instances with his epistles, why he refers also to this. He uses the Greek word ethousia. Actually, timing and planning, the time of birth, the parents participating in this is the Greek word ethousia. But when God plans the timing of your birth so that he knows exactly the part you're to fill and the time you're going to be there, that, my friends, is the kind of sovereign destiny with which God runs his kingdom. If you think that anyone's arrived on the world scene in the kingdom of God by accident, I want you to know that there was no accident involved in their leaving the presence of the Father and their being born with an exactness of time which was known unto the Father from the beginning. Someone said, well, I don't like anything quite as absolute as that. That affects too much the pattern of destiny. I want it absolutely absolute in the hands of my Father. I don't find anything else I want to trust. All the patterns of divine sovereignty, all the will that we know as the predestined purposes of the Most High God, does not by this process relieve you of the responsibilities of being yourself, which by his foreknowledge he knows you're going to fulfill. It doesn't eliminate from you the fact that you were sent into the world to accomplish certain things, and accomplish it you will. We have watched through the course of time the impact of the kingdom of God upon the peoples of earth, upon its operations, its thinking, its processes, its impact upon civilization, if we wish to call this developing of all of the phases of life and living, its construction, its technology, civilization. Well, all of its channel has been affected by your race as it has never been affected so strongly before since the fall of Lucifer. We point out to you that you have a reason for being here, a time for being here, and that's why Ecclesiastes said there was a time to be born and there's a time to die. Though I can clue you to something new God has in store for you, there's a time to live forever, and it's arrived. The history of a race. There had been nothing more important than the birth of God out of the very race, joining himself with them, fulfilling the words which the Apostle Paul talks about in Hebrews, the recognition that the children of God were in bodies of flesh, and he took upon himself the flesh of his kinsmen, not ashamed to call you brethren. If that's repetitious, then, my friends, it's the best repetition you can think upon, that you are the kinsmen of God, and that God was not ashamed to call you his kinsmen, and joined himself to you and proclaimed it to the world. From the very time of Christ's birth, there was a opposition and a struggle between right and wrong, between the powers of darkness and the kingdom of God, between the forces that wanted to destroy Messiah at his birth, headed up in Herod, king of the Jews, and the ministry of God in body, calling to his people for the establishment of his kingdom. Redeeming the time is then your responsibility and mine, for the time now is very short. Much shorter than when the Apostle Paul said the time was short. Time was getting short for him and for the church that was facing martyrdom, and they had to move into action with great speed. Now the time is short because the day of the Lord is at hand, and therefore we are instructed to redeem the time, having looked now circumspectly at these things that have been unveiled and revealed by the light, which are the workings of darkness. To redeem the time, we must overthrow the darkness. We must restore the conditions which measure up the divine approval. The measures and the indications which God has given have been completely fulfilled as far as the passage of the years have been concerned, and it's unto you that have the capacity to understand and to know to redeem the time. So in this instance, the prophet talked about things that would come to pass, and he did this with assurance because God had unveiled to him the picture of events across his consciousness and then gave him the measure by which he would understand when it was. Jesus refers to the sign of the times. We discover that all through the pattern of the scripture, there is indicators concerning these great measures. We have arrived without any question at the end of the age. The abomination of the desolator is already in the land of Palestine, and he's waiting to reach over and grab out of Jordan the last site of what was once Solomon's temple where the Mosque of Omar is. Not because he wants to do a righteous thing, but because he wants to include this. This abomination of the desolator does not recognize the true God. He hates Jesus Christ. He is at war with Christianity. I point out to you that the animosity of these people against Christianity is a byproduct of their origin and their nature. They are warring today against Christianity. There is no way, no possible way that you can redeem the time unless you use this amount of time that is left unto you to put your house back in order. And this is the way redeeming the time finds its pattern of fulfillment. I think it's rather significant when we survey the things that have transpired and recognize that the major area of the design of Lucifer is to take over totally the administration of the earth. He wishes to control all of its economy. He wishes to control all of its government. He wishes to stifle all recognition of the one and only true God. He wants to crush Christian civilization. He wants to enslave Christians. He wants to break the power of the household God established in the earth by mongrelizing their seed, fusing them into the power and the control of the pagans, which would outnumber them. This design is diametrically opposed by the program of God's kingdom, but you were told it would come to pass. The stand that God gives, which is definitely a racial stand. Don't let anyone ever come out and tell you that God's not talking about peoples or talking about physical people or physical races when he says you come out from among them and be ye separate. When he says their bodies are the temple of devils and yours is the temple of the Holy Ghost, they are the house of idols and of satanic worship. This is talking about people. When he says that you're not to touch the unclean thing, he's talking about the differences in people. And he calls the household of his kingdom to take a stand for God and to be separate and be apart from a world order of darkness. The church is very derelict indeed if it does not proclaim this message. We point out to you then that redeeming the time requires that you take concern for your posterity and for the survival of your society. The purpose of God in transferring his kingdom was for it to grow and multiply and increase and eventually control the entirety of the earth and bring all nations and peoples in a proper relationship to worshiping the proper God. And in all instances told you that you were not to absorb or integrate them into the society that was the instructor. In this period of time, we see that every attempt is being made to stifle and crush Christianity and to redeem the time. We had better lift up its standards and push Christianity forward as fast as we can push it forward to retake America. We have people today who are actually asking us to embrace in this nation all the pagan religions in the world. They're asking us to violate divine law and absorb all the peoples of the world, and we're not getting more wealthy by this process. My friends, we're going deeper in debt all the time. Why? Because instead of serving God, we have permitted our leadership to guide us in supporting and extending the strength of Lucifer. This is a struggle of righteousness against evil, the kingdom of God against the powers of darkness. So therefore, in redeeming the time, there are certain things the scripture tells us. There are times of refreshing, and there are times, my friends, in which we are in conflict, a time of trouble. There is a time eventually when in the ultimate victories, which God talks about, there's a restitution of all things. But it hasn't arrived yet, and at this moment, it's your responsibility as the sons and daughters of God to hold the kingdom, to occupy the kingdom, and to break the powers of darkness in the nations of God's kingdom. You're not going to take over and put the rest of the world in order until you win Armageddon, and win it, you're going to. I consider today one of the most deadly areas of infiltration and warfare against the kingdom of God has been the penetration into church organizations of the doctrines of the enemy. By this very process, we have today ecclesiastical leadership that sits in the positions of authority in many denominations who are actually advocating the policies diametrically opposed to the program of God. While in their constituents are the millions of Christians who in their hearts love God, who identify themselves with Christianity, that wouldn't be seen worshiping in a pagan temple while they listen to the talk of leadership talking about the bringing of all religions together. Do not think that there is not a program at work to crush out Christianity and to invade your area of liberty and rights. If there's anything important for us this afternoon, it's to preserve our society, to develop and build Christian economy, Christian faith, and Christian leadership. And we should plan for this. Is it, my friends, hatred for us to advocate the strengthening of Christian economy while Jews plan on destroying it? It is into your hands that many things have been committed. Not only because you are the sons and daughters of the Most High God, God has provided you with land and with territory and raw materials and given you vision and technology and achievement, And you, therefore, in good stewardship, are responsibly the keepers of these things which God hath put into your hands. With the same warning with which John talks to the elder, to the elect lady, and to her children, speaking to all Christendom, and the elect lady being Israel, from whom all the children have come, talking to the white nations of his kingdom and Christians, and said, there is one thing to remember, you have one responsibility, do not let anybody immigrate into your land, enter into your establishments, participate in anything that's a part of your life that doesn't have the testimony of Jesus Christ. If they don't have this testimony, don't let them come in. Don't bless them. Don't say we're going to be tolerant. God bless you anyhow, because the scripture says you will then be partaker of their evil deeds. It says if they come in and you try to take this so-called Christian tolerance, which is not Christian, but is actually the strategy of the cunning of Lucifer, and you permit them to enter into your nation and into the areas of your government and enter into your church and enter into your school, and you know what happens? You end up right where you are today. You're in trouble. They've taken God out of your schools. They are putting into the heads of your students even false patterns of history, and they're seeking to cover up the great pattern of the historic development of your race and trying to make it look as though all the contributions came from other parts of the world. You not only lose control in education, you lose control in economy, you lose control in government, because you let them come in, and then you didn't pay much attention to them. You became tolerant. You say, God bless you anyhow. You don't have to agree with me. Just do as you please. And this is what they please to do. Someone said it's not tolerant to turn and seek to suppress these people. I'm not interested in tolerance. I'm interested in victory. The things that are transpiring today make the way as illuminated because the light makes manifest, the scripture says. When the light makes manifest and you see what's bad, you not only are supposed to reprove it, you're supposed to redeem the time, and that's eliminate the situation. Come out from among them, be ye separate. To whom they say a confederacy, and who they say associate yourselves with these nations in the way of peace, the scripture said, you repudiate this. God says, listen, Jacob, come along and let me take you by the hand. We'll walk right through these processes. The Christian nations of this world may be 1/6 of the world's population, but we do not need one other ally but the Most High God. You know, I find one thing about the pattern of God's purpose. If God has told something to a great patriarch or to an ancient prophet, he has in similar ways or in other processes unveiled the same stroke of purpose to others at a later time. There may not be as specific as a directed sentence, but the evidence of the substance of the message is the same. The great mysteries of God's kingdom are given unto you to know, not to be obscured. Unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To them, it is not given. There is a time to be born. There is a time to plant. There is a time to fight. You know, God said this is the last days, and this is fighting time. Oh, someone said, Dr. Smith, if we could just have a little peace. Well, you better have that peace deep down in your heart because you believe God, because if you don't, the enemy's going to have a little piece of everything you've got. And this is exactly what the enemy's after, a great big piece of America. And I have no doubt that you are in one of the greatest, most turbulent periods of history, but one that's going to show great and mighty victory in God's kingdom. It's time for rededication to redeem the time. To lift up the one standard. There's no alternative. There's only one standard to lift up, and that's the cross of Christ. One standard, that's Christ and Christianity. One way, one standard, one name, and this entire society of Christianity comes to its own under that standard by that side. A lot of people say we should be getting ready for the return of the Christ. This is the way you get ready. You clean your house. And this is our house, and this is God's purpose.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you were fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119.
Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.